Welcome to Flagler in Focus, the podcast where we dive deep into all things Flagler County. I am your host, Karen Callahan, and with each broadcast, we explore the people, places, and events of our community. From interviews with local experts, community leaders, and people with stories to share, we are your go-to source for staying connected to what's happening in Flagler County. And today, I'm always excited, but I'm really excited this morning to have with me Bruno Luna from Flagler County's UAS program. Good morning, Bruno.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Karen.
And we're excited to have you because you are in demand. Apparently, I've been seeing you on the news quite a bit the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we've been busy, especially with this new waiver. We've been out there flying. So yeah, there's been a lot of attention on the program.
Excellent. Why don't you introduce yourself to the people listening and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
I'm the UAS program coordinator for the county. Been living here in Flagler for the last 3 years. Really passionate about what we're doing and the program and where we see it going.
So when you were a kid, did you like love airplanes?
Actually, you know, I never really got into airplanes as a kid, but randomly enough, my dad was really into kites. And when I was a kid, he taught me how to fly kites, and there was always this kind of passion behind getting out there and just having fun and putting something up in the air. And then as I got older, I got into photography, went to school for photography, did film photography, you know, the old school, like film photography, darkroom techniques and all that.
No digital cameras.
So, you know, that was kind of fancy back then, and expensive, but
I can imagine.
And, you know, till this day, I still have film in my refrigerator that I hold. I'm really passionate about black and white photography, street photography. Like I said, I kind of grew up in New York City, so I would spend a lot of time in Manhattan just shooting just street photography and getting, you know, really used to working a camera manually. So, you know, I think that's part of where I have this passion for data capture is that I kind of started early with photography and that kind of led me into, well, how else can we capture pictures or video? You know, when I first started off in the county, I was with the GIS department and the UAS program was kind of an extension of the GIS.
Well, what does UAS stand for?
So UAS is Unmanned Aircraft Systems.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of acronyms in your field.
There are. Yes, it's full
I never
of acronyms.
Know when to spell out the letters or to, you know, spell them out or say them phonetically.
But, yeah.
Okay. I mean, so UAS. I'm sorry. Unmanned. I digress. Unmanned space. Unmanned
aircraft system.
There's
actually a few ways you can say that. I mean, there's unmanned. Mm-hmm. They're calling them uncrewed aircraft systems nowadays. There's also remote pilot in command or remotely piloted aircraft systems is RPAS. And it's kind of like a regional thing. Like I know in Canada, they use RPAS more. In European countries, here in the United States, it's more UAS. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a few different ways to say it. I mean, but everybody usually knows them as drones because that's kind of the word you see most.
So the drones that you currently work with for the county, when sometimes people like me immediately before I started working here, you think of Black Mirror, some weird robot type drones, and sometimes you envision small little airplanes. So what are we working with here?
So, I mean, I think that's a fair assumption. I think you see a lot of stuff on the media about, drones being used in war or sometimes drones popping up during sporting events. It's not really the best news coverage for drones, but there's also a lot of positive things that the drones are doing, right? We use a lot of small UAS, which is basically they're just smaller drones or quadcopters. And then we now, in the last maybe year, we've kind of started dabbling in this fixed wing category of drones, which are larger drones. They can fly longer distances and stay in the air for longer. They can also you can also switch out cameras on the drone, so it, you know, you're not stuck using just one camera. You can attach LiDAR, you can attach, you know, a multi-spec camera on there, which really increases the value of the drone because it's not a, you know, like a one-trick pony.
Now you mentioned LiDAR. So for folks out there like me who don't know what LiDAR is, I bet you I do know what it is. However, help me. Let me see if I know what it is, but you say it first.
Sure. So LiDAR is is a technology that that's used to map areas, and it's really well known for being able to penetrate canopies and dense vegetation.
Oh, is that like the Curse of Oaks Island? Is that what they use on the History Channel?
I'm sure if you've seen a History Channel or Discovery Channel documentary, they've probably used it. I think one of the recent uses is that they've been flying in the Amazon and being able to find basically these structures that are hidden underneath all this dense jungle that usually, if you're trying to survey these areas and try to find these areas, and it's very hard to do it by foot. So having an asset in the air that can scan these areas and give you these maps of what the areas look like underneath those trees is incredibly important for being able to find and locate things that are maybe lost underneath all this dense vegetation.
That's so interesting. So it's not a picture photograph that we're looking at. We're looking at what type of imagery is that again?
So it's not a picture. It's not video. Basically, as the drone is flying, this LiDAR system that's on board is shooting lasers down towards the ground. Mm-hmm. There are these little pulses that kind of shoot down and they come back up to the aircraft, and it basically takes the amount of time that laser, when it leaves the payload and hits something and comes back up. Now, as that laser is going down to the ground, it can either hit ground, just flat ground, or it can hit other things like rooftops or tree structures. Mm-hmm. And depending on the time that it takes for it to hit that object and then bounce back to the payload is how the system understands what's below it. And the nice thing is that once those lasers are being shot down, you're getting a few returns. So you're going to get a return that's basically a top of a tree. You're going to get a return that's the bottom on the ground level. And what that lets you do is basically see underneath the tree canopy, and it creates a point cloud, which is just millions, sometimes billions, depending on how the area that you're covering, of points. And each point has an XYZ coordinate attached to it. So it can give us incredibly detailed maps of what the areas look like beneath tree canopies. And if, some of the missions that we're flying where we're not even dealing with tree canopies when we're flying the coastline, it's getting us some incredibly detailed mapping of what the dunes, what the beaches look like before and after storms. And we can really tell how much sand we've lost due to, storm impacts.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because let's talk about why it's so important that we have this program for the county. For one, you alluded to infrastructure, inspection and maintenance. You talked about with the beach. So what can we do? How can we use that for our coastal engineering program?
So the drone is going to be incredibly important for that, because it allows us to really get out there and capture and document the beach conditions basically whenever we want to. In the past, we've relied on contractors to fly the coastline, but that can get expensive if you're having to do that multiple times a year, because you gotta think you ideally you want to capture it before a storm and then after a storm, so you can kind of put those together and see how much sand you've lost in some areas. So and if you have more than one storm, which NOAA has already said that this is going to be a very active year for in the Atlantic for hurricanes, we could get a return on investment on this drone within the first year just by flying the coastline, not to mention everything else that the drone can do.
Absolutely.
Part of what we do with Fire Rescue is provide support in any way that they need for, with drones, whether it's providing hotspot detection or mapping areas where there are wildland fires. You'd be surprised to see what the crews on the ground have to work with that isn't giving them a lot of data. They usually don't even have an updated map of what the area looks like after it's been burnt. So even just being able to fly an area, after the day, after they've been fighting a fire, and just give them an updated map of what the area looks like after it's been burnt, I think is incredibly valuable, because it gives ground crews a more accurate visual way to see where they are in relation to where the fire is, and also allows us to basically pinpoint where those hotspots are, So that in the morning when they go out and do post-mop-up operations, they can really focus and be more efficient by knowing where these hotspots actually are instead of just kind of guessing and throwing water, you know, everywhere, because it is sometimes hard to see when there's a fire below the ground and it's been smoldering for days. Those things can light up very quick if we don't pay attention to them. So getting these eyes in the sky and being able to see where these hotspots are is incredibly important for their teams and the work they do.
So you've been in the news a few times over the last couple weeks. Apparently Flagler County has received a long-awaited Federal Aviation Administration Certificate of Waiver. What does that mean?
So that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
And there's actually a lot more. So the, mm-hmm. the BVLOS side, which is beyond visual line of sight, is
BVLOS.
That's right.
BVLOS.
Beyond and visual line of sight.
Okay.
So that basically, and that's huge on its own for the county, mm-hmm. because that basically allows us to fly that specific drone beyond line of sight, which most drone operations in the country right now, whether they're recreational or commercial, are usually conducted within line of sight, meaning that you have to have that drone visually within your line of sight so that you can ensure that A, it's not running into anything, and that B, nothing is running into it, right? Because usually when you're flying a drone, even if it has a camera, you can see what's happening in front of the drone, but you can't see what's happening to the left and right and behind it. So being able to see that drone visually is incredibly important for keeping, you know, everyone safe while you're flying the drone. So what's unique about this waiver is that we are now able to fly beyond line of sight. And what enables that as well is the new drone system that we have, which has some onboard technology that lets it avoid manned aircraft. So it has a big camera in the front that basically scans the sky as it's flying, can detect anything from, a commercial airliner to birds or another drone. So, and what it does is that once it detects that, it can kind of avoid it. And that's what enables it to be able to fly beyond line of sight, which is, you know, most drones don't have that type of technology on board. So they're very limited. And even if they wanted to fly beyond line of sight, they're still restricted by battery life. I mean, most of these smaller drones only have 20, 30, 40 minutes of battery life, depending on, you know, wind conditions and everything else. So really, you're going to be limited in one way or another flying these smaller drones. So having a fixed wing drone that has, you know, an hour and a half plus of battery life and has all this onboard technology that can let it avoid aircraft is allowing the county right now to basically, you know, do missions like we're covering the whole coastline. And another important part of the waiver, it has this beyond visual line of sight component, but it also, on top of that, we've been granted the ability to fly over moving vehicles, over people, and in certain cases, flying low altitude missions without visual observers, which is, again, huge for the county because it kind of enables more of a urban infrastructure inspection capability, which is still, it's still very new because there's a lot of issues with being able to fly over people and over moving vehicles and even structures. But with this waiver, we now are able to do this in a safe way with the drone that we now have. So it's really paving the way for not just for ourselves, but for the rest of the nation to be able to kind of start down this road of, all right, how do we fly beyond visual on a site and operations over people and over moving vehicles and really maximize the use cases for these drones, right? Because flying line of sight is great, but it's very limiting. A lot of the work that we've done in the past when we've had storms, like for Hurricane Ian and Nicole, when we tried to map the coastline without this BVLOS waiver, it took us, you know, anywhere between 4 and 5 days. Now, if you can imagine 4 to 5 days after a storm, a lot changes on the ground. Mm-hmm. So you may start at the north end of the county, working your way down, and by the, you know, second or third day, the conditions on the ground are going to change. The roads are being fixed. You know, if A1A was swept away within a day or two, that has to be fixed. It's part of critical infrastructure. So being able to capture what actually happens on the ground in one shot is incredibly important because it makes us more efficient. It opens us up to be able to do more work after a storm. But it's also capturing the beach and the conditions after a storm in one day. So you get a better picture of what actually happened.
So Bruno, I'm going to pivot for a hot minute. So are you a science fiction geek?
I haven't had too much time to read, unfortunately, lately. I've been pretty busy, but I do like science fiction. Yes.
Do you like science fiction movies?
I'm a fan, yes.
Okay, so can you name one science fiction movie with a drone in it?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Ugh. I'm cheating because I'm looking on the interwebs right now.
Science fiction and drones.
It doesn't have to be about drones. Can you name one with a drone in it?
I mean, I'm trying to think of like 90s movies, like, I can't think of one. I mean, you got okay, me on the spot.
So I'm gonna like, I'm just looking at a list right now. So I'm gonna ask you.
Is Judge Dredd one of them? Do they have drones in there?
Let's see. Judge Dredd, the J.
It's just a random thought. I don't know.
I know. Well, this is a random question. And the reason, so I'm gonna see if you, what I'm gonna do is tell you a movie that has a drone in it. And you tell me if that's science fiction, like forever fiction, or it could be science fact.
Sure.
So, okay, Back to the Future Part 2. In the future timeline, it depicts a news outlet drone videotaping the arrest of a criminal.
Oh, interesting.
Would that be a fiction? I guess that would be a fact.
I mean, that's kind of what we're
doing now. That's yeah. where we're at now. I mean, not Flagler County. But
I mean, the news
using drones to videotape something.
Absolutely. That is definitely a real world scenario. There's, you know, news agencies that use drones all the time to film events that are going on. So there is, you know, I think they hit that one spot on.
Okay. Let me find another one.
I have to rewatch that.
There's actually a movie called The Drone.
A recent movie?
Drone 2017. An American drone pilot is confronted by a businessman seeking revenge. I've never even heard that. Okay, fake news. Let's see what else. Furious 7. Is that a Fast and Furious? No. Hummingbird?
Is it?
Inferno? I don't know. It says Furious 7.
I mean, I know there's been a few movies in the last two or three years that have been released about military drones. I can't think of many where they're using drones. At least any that I've seen recently.
Some of these are just, you know, you talked about so many good things that our program is doing. All these future science fiction films are kind of putting a negative. See, that's my fear, is that people sometimes have a negative they have a negative vision of drones. And I feel like it's probably a lot because all of these action movies and what have you, they're kind of negative, kind of a buzzkill.
That's kind of the unfortunate thing. I mean, you see a lot of that in the media. You know, there's a lot of reporting on drones and, you know, in wars and drones, you know, popping up during sporting events and causing delays. Really what we're trying to do here in Flagler County is show how we're using drones in a positive way, right? Drones for good.
Okay. Real quick. Favorite book.
I'm going to say Hatchet.
What's Hatchet?
The book about a kid who's with his father, and I think I haven't read in a while, but I'm pretty sure they were on an airplane. Airplane crashes, the kid survives, and he basically has to survive in the woods.
Think
it's the northeast, Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, and basically has to survive in the wild. So I think I always kind of had that. I've always liked movies and you know, books like that. Kind of been my kind of one of my favorite things, you know, just being able to survive on your own, especially as a kid, I think is pretty cool.
Favorite movie?
That's a tough one. I'm gonna go
top 10. favorite within your top 10.
Let's see, what have we been watching lately? Because I've been watching a lot of movies with the kids, so tough question. I'd say right now we'll go with Home Alone 2.
That is a fun one.
New York City. That's one of my favorites. It's just...
That is one of our go-tos at Christmas time.
It's one of my go-tos any time of the year. It just really brings back that, you know, like that holiday feeling, especially in New York with, you know, the trees and the snow. And
I'm seeing a theme. Favorite book and favorite movie have to do with a child alone to his own devices.
I mean, you know, I did spend a lot of... I didn't have siblings growing up. I think I was 7 years old before I had a younger sister. So I did spend a lot of time as a kid. And even then, I wasn't a big fan of my older sister. I'm a younger sister. So, but yeah, no, I definitely, you know, I think there's something about being in the woods and kind of, you know, going out and trying to survive. I do have some military experience. I was in the army, and I think kind of those things growing up as a kid, that kind of leads into, you know, kind of those things as an adult, right? Trying to survive on your own. And maybe it's a little, I don't know. I like the idea of it because it kind of makes a person stronger, especially when you're a kid. I mean, to go through something like that, I think it's pretty significant. So, but yeah, I think Home Alone 2 is probably one of my favorite movies. And you know, especially watching it with the family, I think it's a good watch.
Okay. One last one.
Sure.
Favorite outdoor adventure or favorite vacation, favorite experience?
Ooh. I mean, I would say going to the Outer Banks with a family.
Really?
The Outer Banks has been...
That's on my to-do list.
Yeah, there's a lot of... it's beautiful out there. Especially if you go up north to the... I think it's Corova or Corolla Island, where they have wild horses on the beach, and you could just drive on the sand, and there's a whole community that's basically, you know, on this island, houses and everything, and they're just very remote. There's no roads that lead to it. You just have to drive on a beach.
Once again, isolation is where it's
from. I do like it though. It's nice out there, and I think that has to be one of my favorite family trips we've done.
Excellent.
But besides that, I mean, I think one of my favorite trips that I've done that I did, again, by myself. but this was when I had more time. This was in 2012. I actually did a motorcycle trip from Florida, from Tampa, went all the way to California, did the California coast, and then went from San Francisco back to New York in 1 month. And I think that was probably one of my favorite experiences and one of the most eye-opening experiences that I've had in my life. I mean, getting to see the whole country, especially on a motorcycle where you're in the elements and, you know, it's, you know, you're not in the comfort of a car. You're really feeling the heat, the cold, mountains, the rain, everything. It was, and then getting to just go through all these different states and being able to see the country. And
how many states was that?
That's a good question. I mean, I went through...
He's good at math, but he's not. No, I'm just kidding.
We did Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi.
Is there Texas in there?
Yeah, New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Arizona, Nevada, and then California. So that's 10, about 10. And then on the way back, it was more of a straight shot because I went right across the country. And it took... Because the way out there, it took 14 days. From San Francisco back to New York took, I think I did it in like 6 days.
You know, it would have been cool if you had a drone follow you the whole time.
I had no technology on that trip, honestly.
GPS?
Not even GPS. I had
printed maps.
I had no maps. Back then, I had a very basic phone. And what I would do is I had a laptop with me. And at the end of the day, I would just, you know, set up a camping spot and just try to get some internet and basically just say, look at what roads were going west. And I had some options. I would write them on my hand. Then the next day, I would just drive as far as I could. And then... do the same thing that night and just set up for the following day.
Bruno, my friend, in a zombie apocalypse, I would love to be on your team. Thank you. I feel a lot safer knowing you.
We'd have
knowing
fun.
That I know you.
We would have fun getting out of Dodge. So yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending the morning with us this morning. Bruno, thank you.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure to sit down and talk about drones anytime.
Wonderful. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for another episode of Flagler in Focus. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are available or by visiting our website at flaglercounty.gov/podcast. Until next time.